For being here this morning. We join with Henry and David and all, expressing our gratitude for the presence of all of you that have come this morning. And I know that we have guests in our audience, and for that we want to say, come again. I think you'll find here a group of people that love God, love one another, and are seeking the lost aggressively, and that is really what we're about, because we're about the business of Almighty God. A common love. You know, I'm thankful today that we can have that common love and that that bond exists between you and I as God's children, that our focus is upon Christ and not upon the world. Tonight at 6 o'clock, our lesson is entitled, Is Life a Dead-End Street? You know, there was no one who lived a more lavish, I guess you could say, life than King Solomon. He did an affluent life. And yet when he came to the end of his earthly sojourn, he would say that all is vanity and vexation of the spirit. And he would look at life as it were a dead-end street. But we're going to examine the book of Ecclesiastes tonight, and we hope that you'll be here. So if you will, make plans to be with us tonight. And also following that, stay for the watermelon supper. You know, some time ago we had watermelons from down in Grapeland. And the Penningtons. Tonight we're going to have watermelons from Elkhart, the Whitleys. And we hope that all of you will be here. Mike and Renee were gracious enough. Mike didn't really want me to say anything about that. He wants you to believe they were Penningtons. No, I'm teasing. But anyway, he's a great guy. He and Renee, they're sweet, sweet people, a whole family. And I hope that you'll stay tonight for that as well. It is true that a body in motion stays in motion, and a body at rest tends to stay at rest. We have all seen those Celebrex commercials on television, haven't you? Have you not seen this commercial? Anybody in here not seen that commercial? I mean, it runs so often on television. And if you have arthritis or if you have aches and pains, they suggest that you take Celebrex. Now, you know, that all sounds good until they start telling you that it could cause cancer, it could cause heart disease, it could cause blood clots, it could cause hypertension, and you may not live to see the dawn of a new day. All the side effects... Inertia. Body in motion stays in motion, but a body at rest tends to get flabby. Isn't it true? I saw a cartoon the other day that really illustrates it. It says, you never learned to relax, did you, Joe? It just came natural. You know, the concept of a church in motion is like that of the human body. It is. And the Bible describes in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 that the church is the body. If you were to read that, you would find that to be true. The Bible talks about the church being the body of Jesus Christ. And in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, the Bible says that bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable for all things. Now, he's not saying that bodily exercise is not important. It is important. It is important. But spiritual exercise is much more important. How many of you have an exercise program? Remember that a body in motion stays in motion. You know, people exercise for a number of things. People say, well, they want to feel better. Others say they want to look good. I read the other day that at 20, we worry about what other people think about us. At 40, we don't care what other people think about us. At 6, we discover that they hadn't been thinking about us at all. One man said one time, he said, I was going to wake up early and go jogging, but my toes voted against me 10-1. And the only exercise that some people get is jumping to conclusions, sidestepping responsibility, and pushing their luck. A church in motion stays in motion. When I think about the church in the book of Acts, chapter 2, and as we read about that church throughout the book of Acts, you will notice that it was a church in motion. They were doing something. They were not sitting idly by. They were not sitting on the premises, but they were standing on the promises. This morning, I want us to examine the book of Acts as we think about a church in motion. You know, the Crockett Road Church of Christ is a church in motion. We are. We are moving forward. We're doing what Moses told the children of God to do as they saw the Red Sea in front of them, to move forward. And that's what God has challenged each and every one of us to do. When I think about that New Testament church, there are a number of things that come to mind when I think about it being in motion. That New Testament church was focused on evangelism. You know, a church that is not focused on evangelism will fossilize. They will. They will die. We will deteriorate. You're either doing one of two things. You're either growing in Christ or you are dying. And when I think about that church, I understand that that evangelism was an everyday evangelism. They went everywhere preaching the word, Acts chapter 1. They were teaching their neighbor about Jesus. They were not content to simply say, I'm a Christian and I'm going to heaven, but they wanted to bring others into the body of Christ with them. And I want to tell you something. Jesus said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And Paul tells us that the church did that in New Testament times, to the known world. And Paul the Apostle said in the book of Romans 1 and verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Evangelism is not a dirty word. Do you know there are a lot of people that believe that it is, but it isn't. For evangelism is a good thought. It was the very thing that set the church on fire in New Testament times. But why does evangelism scare us? Why does it scare you? If I were to ask you this morning, are you afraid to evangelize? Or are you afraid to tell somebody about Jesus? We need to conquer the fear of evangelism and step out and start doing what God has asked each and every one of us to do. We must, everyone, be involved in personal evangelism. Now, when I say personal evangelism, I'm talking about one-on-one. Sometimes people think you have to get up here and speak to a whole group at one time. That's not what I'm talking about. And I'm going to tell you something. Any preacher that does not activate himself in personal evangelism is not fit for the pulpit. Paul told Timothy to do the work of an evangelist and make full proof of his ministry. That is why I believe that every preacher ought to be out hitting the road, telling people about Christ every day, day in and day out. It is not enough to stand in the pulpit up here, folks, and tell you ought to evangelize if I decide that I'm going to sit in an office all day long and not do it. That's exactly what the scribes and the Pharisees did. But evangelism is a personal thing, and we all ought to be involved in personal evangelism. And I want to tell you something this morning. There are a lot of ways to do that. There are a lot of ways to evangelize. There is what we call, first of all, friendship evangelism. It is true. All of us have friends. I know people say, well, I just can't evangelize. You have friends, don't you? Don't you have people that you know, even acquaintances, if they're not a close friend? There are people that you could teach about Jesus. There is what we call the printed page. If you feel that you're not equipped to go out and talk to someone, hand them a biblical tract or talk to them about the Lord. There are available unto us DVDs like Searching for Truth or What Must I Do to Be Saved? Expose them to the gospel. That's why we in this church are a church on the move. That's why we are a church in motion when it comes to mission work. A lot of people discount the idea of telling other people about Christ. Why is it that we don't do mission work? Why is it that some congregations are not involved in mission work? Jesus said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We are involved in mission points around the world, like India and Mexico and Africa and other places where the gospel is being preached. One of the great tools of evangelism, the tool that we call television. You know, we use television for a lot of things to bring us pleasure. But the television can bring us information about God as well. That's why the Give Me the Bible television program, in which this congregation has served as a catalyst through the years, has been such a tremendous instrument in telling other people about Christ, not only here but around the world as well. Through the Give Me the Bible television program, thousands of souls have been led to Jesus Christ. And that's why we have over 31 sister congregations who are working with us in that program even now. And we are almost all over the state of Texas. We're on GBN, nationally, the Gospel Broadcasting Network. We are on the internet preaching and teaching Jesus. It's a great tool to evangelize. That's why we have preacher training schools like Brown Trail and Bear Valley. And others, even in Texas and other places as well. One of the great tools that we have to train and equip young men to preach the gospel. The Give Me the Bible program, as I mentioned, is one of our greatest tools to reaching the lost. Because the world is the field. It is the field of evangelism. And Jesus said in John 4 and verse 35, to lift your eyes unto the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. We must be a church in motion. And we stay in motion when we are in motion. The biggest problem in the church today, however, is the fact that many are preoccupied and they are sleepy. Sometimes it's hard for people to even sit through a service like this, much less awake to the realities and the opportunities that lie before us, spiritually speaking. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4, 5, and verse 14, Paul says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and Christ arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. It is true. Many are spiritual couch potatoes, they are. And when we face up to it, folks, you have to admit that there are a lot of lazy Christians in the world, but not the early church. They were a church in motion and they stayed in motion. But secondly, they were focused on something else, and that was they were focused on encouragement. I don't know of anybody in the church or in the world that doesn't need encouragement. And I want to encourage the Wyatt this morning, he and Ann Modern, because they're having birthdays tomorrow. And I finally learned that they do have something in common with President Barack Obama. Tomorrow is their birthday. Just wanted to toss that out, Dwight. We all need encouragement, every one of us. I don't care who we are. In the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 2, the Bible says, and on his way, that is Paul, on his way through Macedonia, he had many words of encouragement for the followers in various places. Then the Bible says, and he went to Greece. Paul understood the value of encouragement. Not only did he offer it, but he received it. He received it from people like Onesiphorus, or Onesiphorus, however you want to call it. But anyway, he often refreshed Paul. He offered him encouragement. And brethren, let me tell you something. We in the church need to be people who are offering encouragement unto one another. If we stay on the move, it is because people are encouraging and admonishing one another. In the book of 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11, the Bible says, so encourage one another and help each other to grow stronger in the faith, just as you are already doing. Encouraging one another. He said in the book of Hebrews 3 and verse 13, encourage one another daily, he said. Daily. We need it daily. Don't we? All of us need it. I don't care who we are. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. The word provoke there is closely akin to the word to motivate or to stimulate or to encourage one another. We all need to be encouraged. It is a thumbs up when Christians get busy and start encouraging one another. Maybe just a few words like, perhaps, I am with you. Or maybe I am listening to you. Or I care about you. Or I am praying for you. Why, it could mean a lot in terms of encouragement. You know, the way you motivate the church is by encouraging one another, folks. It's not that you get up here and you run the church down, but you get up here and you start building the church up. When life knocks you down, and there are times it happens, try to land on your back. Because if you can land on your back, you can look up and then you can get up. And you need to stop hating yourself for everything you aren't. And start loving yourself for everything that you are. I'm not saying this church is perfect. You'll never find the perfect church. If you do, if you were to become a member of that church, it would become imperfect. There is nothing better than an encouragement from a friend. Everybody needs it. You can do it by word of mouth. You can do it by letter. You can do it by phone call. Encouraging one another. Now, you might not be able to do anything else in the church, but I'm going to tell you something. Every one of us can be encouragers. And we should be encouragers. For the Bible, again, in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11 says, encourage one another and build one another up. Sometimes when we're down, we need a helping hand to get to the mountaintop, where God wants us to be. And sometimes, let me tell you something. Remember this. Sometime you will never know the true value of a moment until it becomes a memory. You know, I look back in my life at people who have encouraged me through the years, and there have been many of them, and they're only a memory now. But you know what? It's a memory that has stayed with me that I have never ever forgotten. I may not have realized it at the time, the value of that moment, but I realize it now, and I will always remember it. The Apostle Paul often referred to those who encouraged him in the faith. Surely we must encourage others to be strong in the Lord. You see, today will never come again. That's why today you need to be a blessing. You need to be a friend. You need to encourage someone. You need to take time to share and let your words start healing instead of wounding people. You know what? We wound one another with our words. You know what happens in the church many times? When a person is having a problem, instead of trying to help that person over the problem, we start shooting them. We don't want anything to do with people that have a problem. Folks, the church is a community of people with problems. You've heard me say it. It is not a rest home for saints, but it is a hospital for sinners. And if we ever forget that, we will fall. We might ought to do our best to try to encourage someone to be able to say of us, I believe that God sent you into my life to give me something to fight for and to show that there is love in this world, to give me hope and to bring me joy and all the proof in God I need in you. For you are a gift from heaven. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." I like the book of Jeremiah. It's one of the greatest books in all the Old Testament. It's one of my favorite books because it's about a preacher. I guess preachers are drawn to preachers. But Jeremiah was one of the greatest preachers that ever lived. Jeremiah said something years ago. He said, "There is a fire that is burning within my soul to tell other people about God, and I cannot shut my lips." He said in Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, but plans to give you hope and a future." And you know what? God is saying that to every one of us today. He is. You've heard me say it, that if God brings you to it, He will bring you through it. Whatever that problem may be in your life, God will see you through it. And the early church was a church that was active, and they were moving. They were in motion when it came to evangelism, and they were in motion when it came to encouragement. But thirdly, they were a church that was focused and involved, and they were on the move when it came to worship. They understood that they could take what the Word of God said about worship. They didn't have to amend what God said. They didn't have to change His blueprint. They didn't have to bring in all kinds of instruments to glorify God. They understood that the voice that God had given them was a precious tool and instrument that ought to be used to glorify our King. They understood that worship was not about entertainment. Or who was the best entertainer down at the church house? But they understood that worship was kissing toward God. And that is what the word really means, folks. Worship means to kiss toward. They didn't say, "Well, you know, we have a lot of folks that are unhappy with God's blueprint. We just got to change it." No. And the Bible says, "Woe unto those who would change the word of God." Revelation 22, 18 and 19, "To those who would add to it or delete from it." Worship, my friend, is not about us, but it is about Jehovah. It is about Him. For in the book of John 4 and verse 24, the Bible says that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I want you to notice something else that I didn't put on the screen. But in that same text, the Bible says, "For such does the Father seek." God's seeking people who will worship Him according to His truth, according to the Word of God. That's why in this church on Sunday morning at 10:30, we worship in spirit and in truth. But the question always comes, why? Why do you worship? God loves you. I mean, why do we worship Him? What's that all about? It's because that early church who was in motion stayed in motion. Acts 2 and verse 41 are the ones that we pattern our lives after. They continued steadfastly. That's motion, folks. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued to do it. The body in motion stays in motion. I'm going to tell you something. The churches that are dying today are churches who have lost their mobility. They are churches that are spiritually in a wheelchair or walking on crutches or walking with their walker. We will never be a church who stays at rest. They followed Paul's admonition in Acts 10 and verse 25 when it came to worship. "To forsake not the assembling of yourselves together is a much, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Paul says, forsake not the assembly. Why would we not forsake it? Because in the book of Hebrews 3 and verse 5, God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Why would you forsake someone who does not forsake you? In Mark the 7th chapter, verse 7 and 8, Jesus said, they worship me in vain, teachings. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding to the traditions of men. And that's what's happening in the world today, folks. You expect that in the world, but one of the great dangers of the body of Christ is the fact that many of those who call themselves Christians and members of the Church of Jesus Christ have started abandoning those teachings of Christ. And they're holding and gravitating to the teachings and the doctrines of men. And Jesus said, in vain do you worship me. There is an emptiness about what you're doing. But we worship in spirit and in truth. But that New Testament church, number four, was a church that was focused on fellowship. Fellowship. Again, in Acts 2, in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and the breaking of bread, and in prayers. You see, our fellowship is with Christ and with one another. That's what we are about. Our fellowship is with Christ and those of us who share that faith in our Lord. You ever wonder, people say sometimes, you know, the Crockett Road Church has to have too much going on. I hear people say that sometimes. Y'all just have too many things going on. We can't be involved in all these things. Listen. In this congregation, we have fellowships, all right, for men, for women, for youths, for night gatherings, for Monday night for the master. And again, people ask that big old question, why? Why do y'all do that? Because we don't want to die. And we're not interested in keeping house. And in 1 John 1, verse 7, John says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all of our sins. I want you to notice something here. Isn't it interesting to you, it is to me, that fellowship is associated with Christ forgiving and cleansing our sin? Listen to it again. But if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another. And, conjunction, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all of our sin when we are in fellowship with each other. You see, our journey as Christians, our journey in fellowship involves belonging, growing, serving together. That is what we are about. And we should never be lacking in zeal, but we must keep our spiritual fervor in the Lord. But Romans 12 and verse 11 says, we must stay excited about our journey together. I'm going to tell you something. We got a lot of folks in the world too. They're always talking about having to fit in. You know what? You need to stop trying to fit in when you were born to stand out. Paul wrote to the early church in Corinth and says, come ye out from among them and be separate, thus saith the Lord. He said that we are to be strong in the book of Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6, the words of Moses to the children of Israel. But how applicable are those words for us today? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified, for the Lord your God, listen to this, goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And we must be simply the church of Jesus, rallying around that cross. Rallying around the cross, folks. And I'm going to tell you another thing. Jesus is not a crutch, but He is the cure. For in John, the 14th chapter, verse 1 through 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And in reality, instead of using that old cliche, I'm human, to walk in the flesh, why don't we say I'm saved to start walking in the Spirit? Too often when we want to be at rest, instead of being in motion, we say, well, you know, I'm human, and so therefore I'm going to walk in the flesh. Quit saying that. And start using the statement, I am saved, and then start walking in the Spirit. Yes, the church in motion stays in motion. The spiritual body in motion will stay in motion. May God help us to continue to move forward. And you know what? God needs you. He does. And you, my friend, can join the movement. You can't join the church. God put you in the church, but you can join the movement. Those of you that are Christians, get involved in the movement. By the way, that's what the church is, isn't it? It's not called the status quo, but it's called the movement. The movement. We need to start allowing God to add us to the church as we surrender our lives unto Him by being baptized into Christ for the remission of sin and by being faithful unto Him, by staying in motion, spiritually speaking. Oh, we're all going to make mistakes in our journey. There are going to be times when we grow weak. Sometimes we make mistakes and we fall. But even if you fall on your face, at least you are moving forward. You're not falling on the back of your head. You are falling on your face because you are moving forward. God is a sovereign God. He possesses all supreme strength and power, and He will help us. So this morning, let me ask you, will you allow God to help you with your spiritual wellness program? For our wellness program begins with Jesus. Jesus is our spiritual trainer. He is. Will you let Him help you this morning? If you are in the throes of depression, if you are despondent, and you feel that life has no meaning for you, and you feel that you have done nothing but rise and fall and rise and fall, let me tell you something this morning. There is one who can empower you to live as God has asked you to live, and that is Jesus Christ. And when a person comes to Him to be baptized for the remission of sins and to allow God to add him to the church family, and when a person continues to walk in the ways of our Lord Jesus Christ, then and only then will you be moving in the right direction. And that's the motion we all ought to be seeking this morning. And if you're a Christian and you know you've been in motion, all right, But your motion, your movement has been in the wrong direction. You've been moving away from God instead of moving to Him. This morning, I hope you would have the confidence and the courage enough to step out and say, you know what? I'm quit moving toward the world. And I'm moving toward Him while we stand and while we sing.